Blog Talk Radio.
Special announcement tonight that one of our co-hosts,
Benny the Big Dog Henderson has finally gone out on his own and will be doing a new website. He's left Doghouse Boxing, like everybody else has lately. But he's going out, and he's going to be doing a new website, new boxing website, called Neutral Corner. And one of his co-hosts on that will be another good friend of ours, Layman Brewster, Mr. Reddick Bowe, Mr. Danny Batchelder, and I believe Mr. Brian Minto. So he's got a tremendous staff there. And Benny, we wish you all the luck in the world, but we're not letting you out of your contract to do your Tuesday night show. And you can buy out of the contract for $1.9 million. It's made out to my mother's maiden name, Cash, C-A-S-H. And you can just drop that off here anytime. How you doing, Z?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing well. Butch, how are you doing?
Doing great. Doing great. Great week. How about our very learned colleague be joining us tonight?
Well, I'm not sure. He may have some business that he may have to attend to, or he just may have some trouble getting through. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Okay. But we also want to make mention of on the 28th of this month, our good friend Dave Tiberi is running another program there in Wilmington at the Carpenter Center. I guess that's in Newark, huh? The Carpenter Center?
Bob Carpenter Center. It's on University of Delaware campus.
Right. And Dave's got another big program he's putting together. And between now and then, we'll have some of his fighters come on and talk about that program. And in attendance will be three of our co-hosts. So you can come out and get they'll sign autographs for $10 a piece. Mr. Z, Mr. Ty, and Dr. Chris. Chris will probably charge you $12 because he's got he's a doctor.
That'll be wonderful. That'll be wonderful. I'm always a big supporter of the local boxer.
Right, right. Well, what do you think of Mr. Chavez Jr. returning to the fighting world?
Well, I know that he had been suspended for the marijuana, if I'm correct.
Right.
Before the fight against Sergio Martinez.
Mm-hmm.
So, and now that he's returning, it should be interesting. I mean, the last fight that we saw him against was against Sergio. And he didn't look good until the last round.
Yeah.
And obviously, I think that was stamina issues. Not sure if the marijuana had anything to do with it. But just being that heavy, and fighting a guy like Sergio, who dances around the ring, who has excellent cardio, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy to chase a guy down like that in the fight, your style of fight against him. So I can understand his not being active to a certain extent. But then again, you're trying to win a fight. So, I'm not sure who his next opponent will be. So
it's going to be Brian Vera. Brian Vera. He's 23-6 and 14 knockouts.
All right. Brian Vera, I'm familiar with Brian Vera. I saw him on Friday Night Fights maybe twice. And Brian Vera, he's a tough guy who will bring it, but I'm not sure if he has the footwork to stay away from Chavez Jr. Chavez Jr. is a heavy kid who will go to the body and can take a tremendous shot. So Brian's going to have to be extremely active to compete in this fight.
Yeah, they're going to fight at 165 pounds they've contracted for. I guess originally he was slated to fight Martin Murray, but that seems to fall through. So
yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah.
But I think Martin Murray personally is a different, maybe a notch above Brian Vera.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Chavez coming back, he might want to take that a little slower. Brian Vera's a good, I mean, I think that's a good good start out for him again.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, we got a couple other announcements I forgot at the beginning of the show. One is we want to congratulate world champion Amir Khan, who on Friday night got married at the Waldorf Astoria. We give you our condolences at the same time. And it seems like Team Ledbetter is asking the WBA to approve a direct rematch with Guillermo Jones. Did I say that right? No, I never get those names right. It was a mandatory challenge, and but they're trying to make it a direct fight as soon as possible. I guess he's got a new trainer, and he thinks he's ready to get back in there. So we'll see where that goes. But, this was another interesting thing I saw where I don't know. Did you happen to see boxing news this week?
A little bit of it.
Yeah. Well, Price is in there. David Price is in there running his mouth, and he said he's looking forward for redemption against Tony Thompson. I wish him a lot of luck. When we talked to Tony, he seemed to be in great shape and in great spirits, and I thought he was in a lot better spirits this time prior to a fight than when the last time we talked to him. What do you think?
Absolutely. I mean, and he has reason to be. He's coming off of a big knockout. Tony, you should feel confident. And
sure.
Then he's fighting a guy he just knocked out.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and I expect a better fight. I mean,
yeah.
I'm not sure about the results, but, I mean, I expect a longer fight out of David Price.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, hopefully. I mean, Tony's got to go all the way over there to get that fight. I hope he knows he has a little bit longer in that ring. I'm trying to. I'm gonna give Dr. Chris a call here on the line. That way we can keep on talking while we're waiting for him to come on.
All right.
This may be interesting. I never know where he's going to be when I call him.
Yeah.
I want to ask him about Mayweather and Alvarez, too.
Oh, yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
All right, Frank.
Good.
We're sitting
good.
Here enjoying a beautiful weather.
There you
Boy,
go.
It's nice out tonight.
We just
it was 90 today. We're finally getting some break in the weather.
Nice.
Let me sit down out on my porch.
Okay.
What's going on?
Well, we got you on the air here, and Zito and I were just, Z, you can ask the first question.
Well, first of all, how's it going, Dr. Chris?
Pretty good. I'm getting all the work done. I'm enjoying the good weather. We're finally broken out of the 60s, and it was 90 in the 90s the last 3 or 4 days here. So I've been watching all the shows. I got a kick out of Matisse fighting last week. He threw a bent-arm hook. It wasn't even a good one. He hit the guy in the forehead and knocked him down. I thought, man, what's this guy do when he set and planted and throws a good, short, solid hook? He's got to be devastating. He was hitting that guy with nothing and knocking him down, you know? And I wanted to... Yeah, I mean, he really looked good last week. Wow.
Are you prepared now?
I'm ready to make my prediction now. Yeah, that's why I held off. I picked Matisse in 3. How's that? Is that going to win me some money?
Oh, yeah, you just won the whole pool.
Damn. Wow, Jesus. Send me a check. So I enjoyed the fight, and it was fun watching. The guy's a short guy, too. He's not very tall, and I thought he might have a little trouble handling the reach, but he didn't have any trouble at all. He just punched right through everything. He's a tough little guy.
Mm-hmm.
So he's everything they said he was. I had I had never seen him before. I missed the one fight that he lost. I missed that somehow. But, you know, they rerun them all during the week. They rerun all the boxing shows on late-night television starting at, like, 11:30. That's when I catch it. If I miss a show, I see it there. So I saw him. They put that on two or three times. They also had Canelo on last night fighting that 140-pounder. You know, that guy didn't even belong in the ring there. He was just overwhelmed. That poor guy took a beating, too, while he was in there. You know what I'm talking about, the guy that beat Ortiz?
Yes.
Josito Lopez.
Yeah, Lopez. Poor Lopez. He got the hell beat out of him. So how did the heavyweight fight, how did he make out? Did you hear? Did he fight yet?
Tony?
Thompson? Yeah.
Yeah, not yet.
Not yet? I just was curious.
No, they're
you know, I remember him. I remember him when he went up against Klitschko. I remember him.
Yeah.
There was a Tony Thompson went to Westchester, boxed at Westchester, then turned pro, but he wasn't a heavyweight. Right. And that's who I thought it was. No, he's a big guy. 250.
Yeah, Tony fights.
So what are you guys up to? Anything good?
Yeah, Tony fights July 6th in Liverpool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no. We were talking just before you came on, and Z wanted to ask you your thoughts on another fighter. Go ahead, Z.
Yeah, actually, I wanted to ask your thoughts on the upcoming Floyd Canelo, the Canelo Alvarez Floyd Mayweather fight.
You think it'll come off?
Oh, they signed it.
Oh yeah, they signed the contract.
When? When?
Friday.
Oh, 2 days ago. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, really?
Fight September 14th.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to pick Mayweather.
Really?
I'm going to pick Mayweather in that fight. I'm going to tell you why. I saw a little chink in Canelo's armor when he didn't go after Trout.
Mm-hmm.
He was a little hesitant. He wasn't an all-out aggressive fighter like he normally is, like he was against Alvarez. Of course, Alvarez weighed nothing. But I got a funny feeling he's not going to put enough pressure on Mayweather to win that fight. He's going to come in 165, 170.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he weighs in at, 154, and he comes in pretty heavy.
Yeah.
If Mayweather comes in at 54, he won't come in at fight night more than 158, probably.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, yeah, he'll be giving away weight. But I think he throws that left hook to the body. His whole left side is wide open for counterhand rights, which is Mayweather's best punch. You know, when he telegraphs his left hook to the body, he bends over, and you see it coming. If you throw a right hand at the same time, you land him right on the chin. And Mayweather's not going to let him get away with throwing them left hooks to the body like he did against that kid Lopez or whatever the name was. What do you think?
I think
he counts on a body attack. He counts on a body attack. But I just don't think he's going to get away with it. Mayweather will move away. He's got better legs.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
I think the fight's going to tell a lot if Canelo poses with Floyd. If he doesn't step the pressure up. If he sits in the middle of the ring and tries to think or figure anything out, or he maybe dances around. If he doesn't bring the fight to Floyd most of the time, then it's going to be trouble.
He's going to lose.
Yeah.
He's going to lose.
Yeah. He's going to lose, and he might look bad.
Yeah. Mayweather could make him, because he's not going to out-jab Mayweather. His arms aren't that long. They're both about the same height, aren't they?
Yeah,
I believe they are.
Mayweather might even have a longer reach.
Mayweather got a longer reach. Yeah, I don't see Canelo beating Mayweather. I don't. Matter of fact, they're pushing him awful quick.
Yeah.
I think, you know, they're moving him up awful quick. I mean, you know, how do you resist a payday like that, whether you get it now or 5 years from now? You know, it's human nature to say, give me it now, you know? So he's going to turn in a big payday. I mean, that's what he really wants, and his promoters and manager, everybody wants to get that big payday. You can't blame him.
And I think it's best right now for both fighters to fight now. Just because Canelo, this payday's coming up now, and he can't really. He's fought the main people in the division. It's probably his time to get this shot. And Floyd, he looked good his last outing, and he's getting older. So right now, while he looks good, he probably needs to take this fight before any age sets in on him.
And, you know,
Mayweather looked like he didn't lose a thing. He didn't lose a thing. He was moving around. I didn't see him lose anything. He looked the same as he did years ago. You know,
thing, he looked impressive.
I think. Yeah, Canelo reminds me a lot of the old Mexican lightweight. His son's a middleweight now. Chavez. Used to throw the left hook to the body from a stand-up position. And to do it, he had to drop his left hand. Then he came along and fought a good round right-hand counterpuncher and knocked him silly. I'm trying to think of that guy's name. I can't remember his name, but that's years ago. But every time Chavez moved in, he threw the right hand. Like, he would lean in, telegraph the left, boom, here come the right. Landed right on his chin. He beat him. He beat him and took the title from him. Do you know his name started with a P? Do you remember that fight?
I remember Frankie Randall. He fought Frankie Randall. Frankie Randall dropped him.
Might have been Frankie Randall. Might have been Randall.
Yeah.
Might have been Frankie Randall. That's who it might have been. Yeah. Yeah, kept throwing that right hand and beating him to the punch. So I left hook to the body. I mean, guys used to try that when Tyson would bend over to his left to get ready to throw a hook. They'd throw an uppercut. He would time it. His left hook would go right over top of the uppercut. He hit Truth Williams on the chin. Truth Williams is 6'4". He went over like a tree, like timber. He was stiff when he went over in one piece. Boom! Hit the floor, and then he came out. The bell saved him or something. They were arguing over the bell, and he came out the next round, and Tyson just destroyed him. But Canelo's got the same thing. He throws a left hook right to the body, but he's wide open. Tyson had a better defense when he did it. He kind of leaned in. He wasn't wide open. He didn't throw up from a stand-up position. So he's tighter. He threw everything from a tight, you know, inside. And Canelo's a little wide with that hook, and I don't think he's going to hit Mayweather with right hands. So I got to pick Mayweather. As everybody else, I bet you he's a favorite.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the guy putting that card together is also, his next deal is going to be putting Danny Garcia and Lucas Matisse together before the end of the year. Now, that I think that's moving Danny up way, way, way fast. I mean, he's done a great job, but I don't know that he's ready for Matisse.
I wouldn't want to take that fight. If I were his manager, I wouldn't want to take that fight. I'd say, yeah, we'll fight somebody else.
Sure.
Let's have his title. Let's have his title for a while. There's three titles. Let's keep it and then let him take another one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would. Wow.
Well, the problem is, who would you match Danny up against now, though? If not Matisse, who would you match him up against?
Well, I don't know. There's a lot of 104.
You have to match him up against someone good.
Peterson
just lost. I still wouldn't have Danny Garcia match up against Lamont Peterson. That'd be dangerous for him. And really, he's going to have to fight somebody on that level. So, might as well fight Matisse.
Well, yeah, I guess when you
put it
that way.
I wouldn't want to be in Garcia's shoes.
Yeah.
No.
I wouldn't want to be in his shoes. He didn't look too happy ringside there. He had them glasses on. He was smiling the way that guy got decked about four times. That was the end of the. I'm next.
Yeah.
He's a young boy. He's not finished growing yet.
Yeah,
you know,
his dad is his manager and works pretty hard with him. And is working very hard. I remember we had him on about a year ago. He said he's going to fight every 2 months until he until he can't fight anymore. And I'm thinking to myself, Jesus, that's awful fast.
Hmm.
You know, I realize you don't ever come out of the gym, but man, that is way too fast.
Yeah, if he gets a cut or something, he's going to have to push that, change that date a little bit.
Sure.
But he hasn't been cut. I've never seen him cut. Have you? I don't remember him getting cut.
No.
Head banging in there. So. Yeah. There's not much coming up in the heavyweight division. Is there anybody, any heavyweights fighting soon?
I think, Showtime is going to have, on the 27th of July, he's got Andre Berto and, who's he going against? Figueroa.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, when's Martinez going to fight again? There's a guy I like from Europe. He's fighting, I think, this week or next week. He's a middleweight, big middleweight, strong middleweight, good hard puncher. Yeah, he's going to have a hell of a fight on his hands if he takes that guy on soon. I can't think of his name. I think he's a Russian, one of those provinces of Russia. You guys
Gennady
remember
Golovkin.
His name because you told. Yeah,
Gennady Golovkin.
Doesn't he fight soon?
Oh, my goodness. I thought I just seen something. He's trying to fight somebody, I think.
Or yeah, I thought he's fighting soon. Well, he's a good fighter. And that other kid that holds the middleweight title is a good fighter, too. He's a big, strong kid. Where is he from, New York or Brooklyn?
Peter Quillen.
Yeah, Quillen. Yeah, where is he from?
He's
from New York, isn't he?
Yeah.
Brooklyn, yeah. He's a good fighter. So there's some good middleweight, things could come up. Of course, you always have...
He's a terrific
Andre
guy.
Andre Ward, is he due to come back soon? Andre Ward healing up?
Yeah, he's healing up. And Sergio Martinez is also hurt, too. He got hurt in his last fight.
Oh, okay.
He injured his knee.
So he's going to take some time off. Yeah, he's getting up there in years. He's going to, he's going to take some more time off between fights. So, yeah, there's not much going on in the summer, really. Seems like, it's kind of a lull in the fight game, and it used to be that they used to have all outdoor bouts, and it used to be the peak time of the year for fighting. You didn't have to compete with football, just baseball, and that was it. Basketball was over, and I don't think there's any more outdoor arenas. There aren't too many around.
No.
New York had about six or seven of them at one time. Even Philly had Toppy Stadium, and they were all over the place. Fighting was real active in the summer. Not anymore. It seems like just a few TV shows in out of Vegas and different casinos. But it was an all-time. What was the money? What was the money with Canelo and Mayweather?
Mayweather gets $50 million. Yeah, Mayweather gets $50 million to do it.
Oh my God, $50 million! Oh.
Yeah,
I don't care how they cut that up. He's going to walk away with a pocket full of money.
Oh, yeah.
Even the IRS can't ruin that.
No.
No.
He also has bought up three-quarters of the seats and is going to sell them back through Ticketmaster. So he's going to make money on that, too. Yeah.
He's going to buy up the seats?
Yeah, he bought up
selling back
at
a profit.
Right. He's done that almost every
fight
yet. Yeah. He's,
I heard that. I think you guys told me. I didn't know he did it until you told me.
Yeah, it was in the boxing news the beginning of the year, how he makes extra money on the fights. But
wow.
It's a shame that Ty's not here. There's a thing off the news wire that former heavyweight champion, Reddick Bo is making he's now 45 years old, is making a comeback in Thailand as a Muay Thai fighter.
Oh, wow.
What? In Thailand?
Yeah.
They don't have anybody that big in Thailand, do they? They're all little skinny guys. They kick the living hell out of each other.
Yeah.
Oh, mercy, that's...
They're devastating with their feet. They kick you in the legs. They kick you in the back of the legs. They kick you in the hamstring area. Man, oh, man, are they brutal.
Yeah.
And they're always in great shape, those Sidelanders. And they're mean little guys, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
We have a... we have a guy...
How old is he now? 45?
46. Sorry, 46,
45. Wow.
I'm sorry, 45, yes.
Man.
Yeah, we have a guy here down in Tampa who is a international, well-known... I don't know. Do they call those places dojos, or they just call them gyms? But the guy's name is Master Mirdad, and he has he's even done things with John Cena. They own a gym together down here, and that's where they have their wrestling and Muay Thai.
Well, good luck to a guy 45 years old getting in there doing that.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, he's John Cena.
That John Cena is a built individual. Isn't he massively built, muscular?
Yeah.
God damn it. He's actually a decent movie star. You know?
He's not bad.
I've seen some of his movies. He's not bad. Got a hell of a future ahead of him.
We've had the pleasure. We had a boxer who we had talked to on the line about a year and a half ago, and he was going down to – he was changing over. Do you remember that? He was going to call his name the Garbage Man. It was a guy from he lived over in Jersey there. But anyway, he came down. I told him to give us a call, and he gave us a call, and I took my grandkids up. And Cena couldn't have been nicer to the kids. What a nice guy, you know.
Well, he's a gentleman. He got no reason to be, you know, he's not the typical idiot wrestler that screams and hollers and, you know, acts like Hulk Hogan, you know.
Right.
he's more of a polished individual.
Yeah.
And at least he comes off that way, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I think the image of the...
Yeah,
I walk around with a smile all day, too. I have a hell of a smile on my face.
Yeah, there's a...
So you got a gym down there, and they're doing a combination of
Muay Thai,
wrestling, and
he has a wrestling school, yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And they do very well between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
But
I guess it's a sideline for him, you know.
Sure.
You know, in between movies and all.
Right.
You know, the amazing thing about athletes is they can lose their money fast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they can lose their money fast. Seems like they're always in trouble, and they don't listen to anybody.
Right.
John Cena, it seems like he might be a guy that would listen and invest properly, you know. I think down through the years of all the fighters and athletes that made a lot of money that are dead broke today.
Sure.
It's sad.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad to see, you know, but every once in a while they get some good advice early and they listen, and they're very wealthy men today.
Well, you remember the...
Sugar Ray is a very, very wealthy individual.
You remember the... Alex Ramos. Alex lives off of his Social Security now, but has a fund that he started for retired boxers, and he's helped them out with anything he gets goes right into the program in their 501c3, and the Retired Boxers Foundation has helped many fighters get into drug and alcohol rehab and helped them out with some medication from time to time. And you know, I know that Layman was telling us a couple of weeks ago that he was going to get into something similar to that. He's going to come back on. I think it's next week he's going to coming on to announce his 501c3 that's going to help out retired boxers.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, they could take a small percentage of the promoters on the promoter side, like $50 million. You know, the government's only going to gobble up a huge amount of that. they could put it into a fund, and they could have a pension plan for fighters. It would be an incentive. You know, after you have, you know, let's say you qualify, like in Major League Baseball, you have to play 5 years to qualify for the pension. Mm-hmm. In golf, it used to be you had to make 100 cuts. They've dropped that down now. Eddie Doherty, I remember when he made 100 cuts. He said, man, I just made my 100th cut. He said, I got a lifetime pension coming up now. And he said, it's big. He said, it's big. And he said, I'll be able to live comfortably. But then the senior tour came along and he made more money. Now he's living comfortably now financially. And the same with all those guys. The PGA of America has the best pension plan.
Mm-hmm.
Football player, the baseball's second, I think football's third, you know, with the pension money, matching funds and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't start until late, and like the guys that played in the Van Buren era in the 50s and the 60s, they get nothing. They get peanuts.
Right.
They get like $115 a month. When I played in Joe Walton's golf tournament 2 years ago, all the old-timers were there that played under Lombardi and all. Their biggest complaint was that they'd signed for $1,500. Second-round pick signed for $1,500. They were all screaming. They didn't make any money, and they played for nothing, and the first contract was $15,000. Yeah. The first year they played, they were moaning and groaning. They actually were comical about it because there was some younger guys there needling them, you know what I mean? And that made for a lot of fun. But every single one of them, to a T, complained about the money they signed for.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
Second-round pick signing for $1,500.
Right.
You know? So, that, you know, but it's nice if they could do something like that for boxing.
Sure.
If they could get the promoters, say, okay, we're going to set up a central fund and we're going to donate so much out of each on, and every fighter that has 15 fights or more, he qualifies for a pension after a certain age.
Mm-hmm.
They could do it.
Sure.
Wouldn't cost them a dime.
Sure. Yeah,
wouldn't cost them a dime. That's what David Tiberi wanted to do.
Right.
That's what Dave Tiberi wanted to do when he wouldn't fight. He didn't want to fight anymore. He said he was going to become a boxing czar.
Right.
He said Senator Rothman was going to put him in that position. I told him, Senator Rothman is not going to put you in any position.
Yeah.
He's going to forget you in about 2 minutes.
Sure.
Once the publicity goes, he's going to forget who you are. And that's just what he did.
Yep.
You know? And Dave thought he was, you know, like, wasn't going to happen.
Yep.
But like Frankie Fletcher is dead broke. When I say he's dead broke, he's dead broke. Anthony's sitting in prison on death row. Been there about 10 years now.
Mm.
So the Civil Liberties Union tried to help him out. I don't know how far they got.
Mm.
But all the fighters I know around Philly, none of them have any money. They don't have any money coming in. No way of earning it. You know, Texas dead broke. Poor Tex, he's dead broke. He's living in Washington, you know, as you guys know. And he's got a menial job, janitor. He was a janitor. He takes whatever he can get.
Sure.
Just go to work, pay for the rent for the apartment. He's you know, that's such a shame.
Yeah, it is.
And his movie career is done.
Mm-hmm.
Time Warner, you know, ruined his movie career. They said, man, he'll never work again in Hollywood. So,
even,
you know. It's sad. It's sad to see.
Mm-hmm.
But
wow.
What's going on? What's good? What's anything? What do you think of the Eagles? What do you think of this guy?
I think you're going to have to give
Frank,
him some
you
time.
Think he's...
I'm not sure.
Yep,
I, you know,
probably
I, heard, I had a chance to sit down with Jaws last week. We played Philadelphia here. And Jaws was saying, you know, the two things he was saying. One, he was still trying to negotiate to bring Tebow in because that'll really bump up his sales. They're only getting like 6,000 to 8,000 people to the games. But he said his question is the way that Kelly is setting up his formations and the fact that it's all the either West Coast or using the college formations. He's not sure that the older guys on the Eagles are going to be able to survive doing that. I think he's going to have a problem.
He wants to run more plays per game. He wants to get more plays off.
Right.
You know, and he's got a lot of good ideas. It's just if he implement them. If he can implement them, that'd be great. I'd like to see him do it. Seems like very nice. I watch him. You know, seems very nice. You know.
Yeah. What do you think, Zeke?
It's already June. He'll be playing in August. You believe that? Playing preseason games, Christ.
Yep. Zeke, what do you think?
Time goes by fast, man.
Yeah. Well, does he have the pieces to implement them? Can he run his offense with the current offensive line that they have? That's going to...
I don't know. We'll find out fast. He's going to find... There'll be a lot of trading going on, you know? A lot of last-minute trading.
One of the things I like is that he really came down on some of the veterans who didn't come out on the field because it was raining. And during the... It rains during the game.
Yeah, right.
Football.
It's raining. What the hell? Even baseball plays
in
the rain.
Andy was a nice guy, but I think you're going to see that these guys are going to be very upset because this guy's going to hold them to their feet to the fire, just like Schiano does down in Tampa. And Pete Carroll tried it out for the Seahawks, but I think. These guys making the transition, all of a sudden these players are finding out they're going to have to work. And we'll see what that's going to be like.
Yeah, well, you know what? If it produces results, I think the players will be happy about it.
Sure.
They'll be glad it happened. You know, anything's better than going through a season, a losing season, getting your brains beat out, you know, no hope to win. I mean, it's got to be, you know. It's got to wear on your nerves.
Sure.
I used to think that these guys would leave winning teams and go for the money and go to teams that are very poor. I think that was a big mistake. I remember when Larry Sanka left and went into that Central Football League or whatever it was, AFL at the time, and he got a huge salary. He never was the same after that.
Yeah.
He lost a lot of his notoriety. His career was... blurred, so to speak, by playing with those teams that meant nothing. And I often thought he would have been better off staying with Miami, going out in the NFL without taking a bigger amount. How much can you spend? You know what I mean? What the hell? I don't know. I think I'd take less. Well, he started out broke about, 2 years ago from the IRS took all his damn money. And then he started out broke, so he better keep some of this stuff because he don't have any more. You know, he can't go on forever. I mean, they take a big chunk out of there, man. You know, and then training expenses. And then, you know, he signs big like that, but I'm wondering what they actually clear. I remember Marciano fought his last fight. He got $950,000. He cleared after the government got done training and all that, and they didn't have income averaging in days. I think he cleared $74,000, so he retired. And now he said, "The hell with it. I'm not." You know, he said, "I fight twice a year. The second time I fight, I fight for peanuts."
Right.
So he gave it up. But now they got that tax rate is way up there. Now, what is the highest rate now, Frank?
37.5. Under 12 million, and it goes up to 55% after 12 million. Yep.
Whoa.
Yep,
50%,
huh? Yep, 55.
Wow. 55. Yeah, they want the better part. You get the 45. Yeah. Hey, let me ask you something. You know, we got a fight coming up on the 27th. With Andre Berto fighting Figueroa, how do you see that one coming out?
That could actually be a good one. It could be a good one just because I mean, Andre Berto's coming back from a serious defeat, really, at the hands of Guerrero.
Right.
So, and Figueroa, truthfully, hasn't fought the competition Andre Berto has, hasn't really been successful as Andre Berto has. He's not. He shouldn't be on that level. But Andre Berto has technical flaws that can make it good.
Mm-hmm.
Either that or Andre Berto's going to just knock him out. Because Figueroa is not defensively inclined. He's going to bring the fight to him. He's not an exceptional inside or outside fighter. Figueroa, he's not exactly durable. He's pretty good. He's pretty good.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that because, you know, Andre has never been one for a loss of words, but after he gets done with him, he wants to take on Keith Thurman. So he's already
that'll be a good fight. I would like to see that fight.
Yeah.
They both have pretty good power.
Mm-hmm.
And they both talk a good game, so I would like to see them leading up to that fight also.
What do you think, Chris?
When's the big clown fighting again? That big white guy from where's he from? You know what I'm talking about?
The guy sang after. Yeah, I know who you mean.
Tyson
what
Fury.
What the hell?
Tyson Fury. Yeah.
Tyson Fury. When's he fighting again? That's entertainment when he comes in the ring. That clown. What?
Yeah,
has he got anything coming up?
Not that I see.
I haven't heard either. You know, if you look in the sports section, if you go to the dead last page, they'll have future fights and they'll have them up for about 2 months. Mm-hmm. I look every once in a while. I don't see him in there. But he's very entertaining, that guy. And I mean, where can he go? He's got to fight one of the Klitschko's eventually if he gets a few setup fights.
Yeah.
That's what that would be interesting.
He's still young. He probably has some more fights under him before he goes anywhere near a Klitschko.
Mm-hmm.
How old is he?
24.
How young is he?
Yeah.
24?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Hell. He really needs to learn how to fight. He really needs to learn. He should spend time in the gym learning how to hell to.
He looks caught between styles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're right.
He fights square. He push punches. When you fight square, you can't snap your jab, and then you can't throw a good right hand behind it. He just got so many technical flaws. Oh, my God. You know, he actually beat what's it called by grabbing him and holding him and hitting him. You know,
I'm mauling him.
I mean, mauling him, yeah, poor guy. He didn't stand a chance against a guy that big. But I'd like to see him fight. Well, you know, I don't want to see him rushed along. I don't see any fighter rushed. But it'd be interesting. It'd be colorful. We haven't had any entertaining fighters since the Prince quit.
Right. Yeah, we have
been on one.
Go ahead, Chris.
Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, when you talk about colorful, I just pulled something off. It was Joe Calzaghe is just pissed as hell over Carl Froch, saying he's the best of the English, and Calzaghe's so. Fighting mad that he'd like to get him in a ring. That would be interesting.
Not for Calzaghe.
Well, Calzaghe, he better stay the hell retired. Forget it. He shouldn't get irritated by Frush. Frush is so clumsy, so awkward, that Calzaghe don't, you know, he set the standard as far as English fighters go. You know, He was an exceptional fighter. He shouldn't get upset about something like that and want to get back in the ring, you know?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, if I were him, I'd stay the hell where he belongs. He counted on hand speed. And if he loses that hand speed, he might not be what he was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had really fast hands. And I don't know, if a guy like that, if he loses that, he never had a punch. never have a good hard punch, but if he loses that hand speed, I think he'd be in trouble.
Yeah.
And Frost is so damn awkward. He is awkward. Jesus, Scott, he throws punches from all angles, long-armed, freakishly built. You know, he's very difficult to fight. That
mm-hmm.
fight with Kessler was, it was difficult for Kessler. Frost got them long arms. He does throw from all crazy angles. And you know, he's very hard to fight a guy that like that. It throws you off.
And in the fight,
wild, you know.
In the fight with Kessler last week, Carl Frotch and Kessler, I noticed that Kessler, he seems to lost the bending in his knees. It seems like his injuries seem to get caught up with him.
Mm-hmm. Well, he didn't look his best. He's definitely not the fighter he was 3 or 4 years ago when he was mm-hmm. coming up. He's definitely not the fighter he was then. But he's okay. I mean, he provides a good night. You know, it was a good show. It was a good fight.
Yeah.
But he's done. He couldn't beat Andre Ward in 100 years. You know, if it come right down to it. I mean, he's making money. He made good money, you know. But I got a feeling Andre Ward will come back, and then he'll clean them all up again, you know. Providing that injury is not that severe. Providing that all that shoulder heals and all that. He's
who
such a tough guy. He'll...
Who do you think Andre Ward's biggest challenger out there would be?
Wow.
Do you think he would have to move
you know
up
what?
In weight?
Yeah, who the hell could beat him at 168? Butte, he got beat. He got beat. There's nobody out there for him in that weight class. I mean, who would he fight? I mean, he's head and shoulders above the rest of the guys in the division. I don't know who the hell he'd fight. And then if he moves up to light heavy, I mean, it's only 7 or 8 pounds, but those light heavies come in the ring at 195 pounds now. They're coming in at, they're weighing 175 at the weigh-in, and they're coming in at 191, 192. I mean, you're going to, that's a lot of weight to give away. He's not going to be able to pack 185 pounds on, you know, even if he moves up.
He's not the biggest 168-pounder either.
Yeah, he's not even a big 168. I mean, he'd like hell to see him move up. I'm not doubting that he couldn't beat the 175-pounders, but if an exceptional one comes along, he's going to have trouble. I realize, as much as I like him, as much as I like the way he fights, I think he'd have trouble. I saw a light heavyweight the other night. He was a mediocre fighter. He came in at 192. He looked like a heavyweight, an old-fashioned heavyweight out of the 50s. He weighed 175. Came in at 190. He was 6'3". He was huge. Christ almighty. That's what I'm saying. And they're all broad-shouldered and tall, and they seem like they could pack that weight on fast and carry it better. Andre Ward is a small-boned man. He's not a big-boned man. You know, where he could come into the ring at 185, 190, he couldn't do it. He wouldn't be the same. He doesn't have the shoulder structure and doesn't have the frame to carry that kind of weight.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see him stay right where he is and just reign, be the champion for a while. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Clean it up and then be there for a while and enjoy it. Enjoy not getting your brains beat out. One, you know. Sitting up there and let these guys come to you. There's going to be a million of them out there. Europe's going to produce a lot of 168-pounders.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to produce a lot of them, the Germans and the Russians. And there's going to be a lot of guys at that weight class. So he'll have plenty of competition.
And I think that he could draw a lot of the guys at cruiserweight or at light heavyweight down to a catchweight. To fight him,
mm-hmm.
where he might be able to move up maybe 2 or 3 pounds, and they'll have to move down a little more, maybe the 4 to the 6 pounds. You know, just he would have the numbers because he probably would be more of a draw.
Mm-hmm. Well, I imagine he'll fight Frosch again. Don't you think his next fight will be against Frosch?
Mm-hmm.
Carl Frosch, I think that'll be his next fight.
Yeah.
And he'll fight over there. He won't fight over here. He'll probably fight in England.
That makes the most sense for the money, because apparently all the European fighters are talking that Andre Ward can't draw flies. So they're talking about the fight will have to be in Europe to get the money.
Yeah, that's let his shoulder heal up a little bit. Let him train. Let him get a ten rounder in to see how he does. And then go ahead and play for us. It'll be a big payday for him. He seems like a sensible guy that knows how to handle, handle money wisely. He don't seem like he's like Frankie Fletcher was. He get win a fight, go out and buy two Cadillacs, and then bumming hot dog money off of you 2 weeks later. You know. Frankie was something, boy.
That's the thing that happened to Dave Jaco. He had a big fight in New York, had a pile of money, turned around and met some biker gang and ended up drinking with them the whole weekend. And when he woke up on Monday morning, he had no money. He had to call his wife to get money to get home from New York. Yeah.
Holy Christ.
Yeah, that's in his book.
That's funny.
Well, let me ask you.
I was with a fighter down Atlantic City, and he fought the main event, Fort Willie Pep's fighter. Pep was living then. He had a fighter from Hartford. I think his end was about, after the manager, because he had about $2,800, $3,000 was his end. It was one of the Monday night fights. And he went right to the roulette table, and in 20 minutes it was gone. In 20 minutes, it was gone. I swear to God. The whole damn... I said, Vic, what the hell's wrong with you? I'll fight again. I'll make it next day. I just didn't give it. It's just crazy. Blew the whole damn thing. Betting all over. Had the bets all that. Blew it right out. He didn't even get to the gin table. He blew it at the roulette table.
Man.
So, guys, easy come, easy go, I guess.
Yeah. I can't wait till... So our good friend Bob Alexander, the ring announcer, goes with this one. Fresh from El Centro Detention Center in Los Angeles, California, Alfredo El Pedro Angulo.
Wow.
He's coming back in November. He's going to be fighting Cuba's Esther Lady Laura.
Arizona de Laura. Yes, he is. That's going to be a good one. I'm going to favor Aslan de Lua. He's just more rounded fighter. And Gulo's brutal. He's brutal, but he has a tendency to be crude and open.
He's brutal looking, too.
Yeah.
Christ, you're scary. You have to death look at it.
Yeah.
He could win the fight from the stool. Who the hell is that guy? Looks like some animal coming over. What the hell? He is a mean looking guy, isn't he?
He's
a mean looking son of a bitch. Yeah. Then he got that hair all over the damn place. What a character. Well, he is a mean looking guy.
So, well, guys,
nobody has that look.
Yeah.
Time flew tonight, Frank.
Yeah, it certainly did.
Next week we'll have more to talk about when the. A couple more fights coming up. Maybe we'll have more to talk about. But I tell you, I'm impressed with Matisse throwing a very poor left hook. I mean, he didn't even have it was out away from his body, and he hit Peterson on the forehead and knocked him down. I mean, it wasn't a good left hook. I'm thinking this guy does have tremendous power. So I can't wait to see him fight again. If I was Garcia, I think I'd go over and fight somewhere else.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if I'd want to get in there with that guy. Danny's tough, and the thing is, Danny's tough, too, and I don't think he'd back off. I think he'd go right in there and try to suck it out with him.
Sure.
I don't think he knows anything else,
Right.
So it would be interesting. He's got a lot of pride in what he, at least I sense that. He does have a lot of pride.
Yep.
All right, guys. Well, I guess I'll see you next week.
Yes, sir.
Hope all is well.
Thanks.
I'm working on my golf game.
Okay.
All right, Frank. Take it easy, buddy. See you guys.
Thanks, Dr. Chris.
All right.
Okay, Z, you want to start us out here?
Yeah, I just want to thank Dr. Chris for joining us. These shows are definitely in memory of Bob. Anyone wants to hear any fighting words, please do call. Butch.
Okay. Well, thank you. I want to thank you and Dr. Chris for being on with me tonight. Always a pleasure to be with you guys and to share fighting words with the world through your eyes and your knowledge. Ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night. Grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, men and women of police and fire services. When you're out there and you see somebody in uniform, if you just merely say thank you or have a good day, it means a lot to all of us. These programs are also dedicated to members who've lost their lives, Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcap, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Patrolman David Crawford, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Arnolfo Crispin, Lakeland PD, Deputy Barbara Pell, Broward County Sheriff's Office, Chief Al Hogle, Longboat Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, the Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Uniform Division, Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township PD, Lieutenant Bob Murphy of the Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Chief Mike Goodwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, MIT Officer Sean Collier, and our latest entry, my former partner, Deputy John Caldwell, this passed away this week. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, at some time we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the roads rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields and the sun shine softly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hollow of his hands. Be safe, everybody.
Shem alek ma yelama, shem ahezah yelama, son ashen evorat fet, hakuig again ma yelama. Again, my
County Dispatch, the 1999. County Dispatch, the 1999. All units be advised, 1999 has responded to his last call. May God bless his soul.